This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lauren Sisler of ESPN, the SEC Network. She was on ESPN's coverage of the game, A-Day game, at Bryant-Denny Stadium. She joins us now on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Lauren, hope you're doing well. All right, first of all, we've seen Nick Saban wear some pretty dapper suits and sport coats in the past, especially during A-Day games. The sport coat, thought it looked great, thought he pulled it off. Apparently Miss Terry, she wanted it. What were your thoughts on Coach Saban, just the way that he looked, his presence, and then being there on the field and being able to talk to him prior and during the game?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Of course, it's kind of funny. I talked to Mac Jones before the game. You know, of course, he was there for the Walk of Fame. You know, they did the whole hand cleat print thing, and he said, they don't really put money, but they have bets on, like, what Coach Saban is going to wear. And he said, go back to his Instagram, because I guess apparently he knew that Nick Saban was going to go with the either salmon / pink color, and he obviously was right. So, you know, it's a big deal. Like, the whole idea of what Coach Saban is going to wear on A-Day is always a big deal. Of course, Miss Terry dresses him, and, you know, we asked him on Friday in meetings what he was going to wear, and he's like, I have no idea. Miss Terry will have it all laid out for me, ready to go, and I'm with you. I thought that he looked, Landrum, I thought he looked pretty dapper in that, and had a big smile on his face. I think the idea and the fact that we're playing spring football is a big deal to him. We know coming into the game that there were a lot of absences, if you will, and I think, you know, there was some concern, obviously, or we're still going to play the game, right? He said, this is an exhibition game. I don't care how many players are available or not available. We're playing this game. This game is so important. And so, you know, I think that was kind of the mindset going into it, and he knew that there was going to be value in playing this game regardless of how many guys were absent due to injury and or illness and health issues, and as you know, kind of the narrative there. So that's kind of where we're at, and I think, you know, he liked what he saw for the most part.
We know what the guys that were out were able to do that we've seen before, obviously Robinson, Mechie, guys like that, but is there a player who was out that maybe the coaches were really looking forward to seeing that they thought needed that practice to maybe prove what they could be and get some potential playing time this fall?
Yeah, I think if there's one person you point to in that whole mix and lineup of guys, it would be Jalen Milroe, the quarterback that came in. They're real high on him. I think they have a lot of expectations for him. They have pretty much told us that he is as fast as any receiver on that team. And I think that the biggest thing that you'll find, and I mentioned it before, these A-Day games are instrumental. They're huge. Mac Jones told me before the game, he said A-Day defined his career at Alabama. He was horrible in his first A-Day game. And he said his confidence was blown. I mean, it was awful. And then each year he got better and better and better. And those are the times when you're able to really kind of put on a show, and essentially when you're a young guy or a less experienced guy or one of the guys that's, you know, 3, 4, 5 deep on the depth chart, you don't get those kind of looks. And so this is your opportunity to go out there and play in a game-like situation, and that really kind of helped define Mac's career when his time came. And so I think a lot of that can be said for guys like Jalen Milroe, that the expectation was he's going to come out here, he's going to play. And we'd rather give them a chance to come out in live action in an A-Day game, A-Day setting like this than waiting till midway through the season when you're maybe up in mop-up duty. Or, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of looks they give him, you know, with Bryce Young obviously being the starter at quarterback. What's that going to look like? Who is going to be your number two guy? Is it going to be Paul Tyson? Is it going to be Jalen Milroe? They said Jalen Milroe is fast. They love his skill set. He can throw the football. He can run the football. He's just raw. And he needs experience, and that is the key for him right now. He needs that experience, and obviously there was a lot of disappointment that he wasn't going to be able to get that on Saturday.
In regards to America being introduced to Ajayi Hall, what did you hear in regards to the coaches? Because obviously what you saw on Saturday really wowed a lot of people, a lot of people salivating on what he can do this fall.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, you know, coming into it, just talking to the coaches, they had said this is someone you're going to want to look out for. First of all, the receiver room is as deep as it gets. You know, that's the kind of the big question coming into this season. You have to replace so many guys. This offense looks a lot different. You bring in a new offensive coordinator, but that is the one thing that I think that the coaching staff feels really optimistic about is the, you know, that receiver room. And even Bill O'Brien, the new offensive coordinator, said this wide receiver room is stacked and absolutely, I mean, this wide receiver room is far better than even what you would see at the professional level. You know, he's a guy that comes in from, you know, the NFL and said, you know, you kind of know, you have a clear, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 when you're at the professional level, when you're in the NFL. And then when you walk into a room like this at Alabama, I mean, you know, it's anybody's guess as to who can go up and obviously play at that level. And there are so many guys that are capable. And Ajai Hall being one of those guys, he's fast, he's explosive, and he makes those contested catches. And that's the one thing, even in practice, they said, like, there is no doubt in your mind this kid is going to go up and make those contested catches. And we saw it in the A-Day game, and it was funny because I was actually on the sideline where, you know, Bryce Young was, and he's kind of locked in, and he's sort of, you know, he dabs guys up a little bit. He'll do his thing, but then he'll sit down and he is like locked in, focused. He is, you know, in the zone. And there was a moment there when I guess it was Barker, I think, that threw that pass out to Ajai. And he was like, you know, Bryce saw it and he just lit up and was like, are you kidding me? And then looked at the replay on the big board and was just, you know, enamored by his abilities and was even impressed by the catch that he made in that instance. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of excitement surrounding him and his abilities, and I do think that there is a very good chance that we're going to see him quite a bit this fall.
Lauren, with being there on the field at Bryant-Denny, getting to see Bryce Young there in person, in action, what were your takeaways of Alabama's heir apparent to Mac Jones, what you saw, and maybe a comp, if you will, of maybe a past Alabama quarterback that you've seen, maybe size-wise, the way he throws, the way he moves around in the pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I was really, really impressed with him. And it's kind of funny because obviously that's the one question, you know, we asked Coach Saban, you know, before the game, quarterback situation, halftime. And he says, you know, I've been telling you guys all along, like, he's been playing really well. You know, it's like you guys think I'm not telling you the truth. Well, obviously, I mean, he's just kind of, you know, that's just Nick Saban trying to gag with us a little bit with the media. But, you know, just his accuracy and his abilities. And I think the one thing that kind of stands out to me, and I even talked to his trainer, specifically out in California, Taylor Kelly, and it's pretty amazing to see what he can do even when he's under pressure, when he's obviously off balance. He can make these incredible throws, and it's actually gotten to the point where they've tried to get him to be more balanced and to be able to see if he can make those same kind of throws, because he's just so darn good when he's, you know, under pressure and he's having to make these crazy throws, obviously into tight windows. You know, the speed of the game, everything kind of changes when you get to this level. But he has certainly been able to show that. And I think that's what has really been impressive. And they just said, you know, he can move. And, you know, Nick Saban, I wouldn't classify him as a runner, but he runs as well enough as he need to. Now, the one thing that Nick Saban even pointed out specifically, and I know Herb Street and Joey Galloway were on the field right behind him as well, behind the line of scrimmage, is his height. Obviously, you can't change that. He's listed at 6 foot. I'm not quite sure if that's, you know, 6 foot maybe giving him a little bit. We got to talk to him and you know, spend a little time with him on Friday. And, you know, Coach Saban said he doesn't think the height is impacting him or will impact him. But obviously, I think that remains to be seen. And I think, you know, there was a little bit of talk of that on the field and from what the standpoint of what Kirk and them were seeing. But, you know, I think his accuracy certain plays into it, his abilities there, his decision making, I think, is where things have come in. And one thing that I kind of learned in talking to him, he really kind of sat and picked Sarkisian's brain all of last year. So we didn't get to see him. He obviously didn't get his chance to play behind Mac Jones and having to kind of sit all year, but he really utilized that time to learn and took it to heart, took all of that to heart with Mac Jones, with Sarkisian, learning as much as he absolutely could, knowing that his opportunity was going to come. And obviously, I think it's paid dividends at this point. And, you know, I'm just excited to see, you know, what he's capable of doing when we do get all those key pieces and those key weapons back out there. And I think he's going to have the talent around him to certainly make him look really good once those key pieces are in place. And, of course, I think the offensive line's another area that has a lot of question marks as they're trying to figure things out, a lot of injuries and stuff there. So, you know, a lot of key pieces moving around, but I do think that Bryce Young certainly is matured, and he's showing, you know, a glimpse of being a really good, strong starting quarterback for Alabama.
Lauren Sisler of AL.com and the SEC Network joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. She was on the sideline for ESPN's broadcast of A-Day Saturday. to the defensive side of things, there, the sentiment's growing now that this defense is going to be vastly improved, even from a year ago when technically, if you look at the numbers, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people believe. What's the thought in that building of just how good this defense can be in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing, and Cole, you and I talked about this over the weekend, kind of as we were, you know, going over the post-game breakdown of each of our games that we did. And, you know, I think the one thing that kind of stands out to me, and Nick Saban said this, he said, you know, if you had a guy like Patrick Surtain back and Barmore, and you add that to what they have coming back, this team would be as close, if not better, than what they had in 2012. And I think that kind of, you know, the 2012 team is something that everyone goes back to. And Nick Saban has addressed this several times in his press conferences. He addressed it in, you know, we saw he did, you know, some stuff with the coaches, conferences and stuff, I think in Louisiana, where he said, you know, you can't limit teams to just 8 points anymore. That just doesn't exist. You've got to go out there and score points as an offense. But he keeps going back to this defense and saying, yes, there's room for improvement. Yes, we can get better. You could see there was some frustration on Saturday. You know, he was kind of laying into the guys, and that's just sort of how, you know, how he kind of is with his defense. You know, he really kind of lets them have it when there's obviously mental errors and mental mistakes going on. But, you know, he was very pleased with what they have and the pieces they have in place. And I think that is, you know, even Pete Golding just talking about it. I remember sitting in that room in 2019. It was kind of later in the season. I think this was kind of, I want to say this was right after Tua had ended up getting hurt. And he said, you know, I've never been part of a defense that has experienced so much hardship. Obviously the injuries, and we are just not there, and we are just struggling. And you could just almost see a defeated Pete Golding. And then, you know, 2 days ago, we're sitting there talking to him, and it's a totally different guy. There's this confidence. There's this air about him. He knows he's got a dang good defense that's coming back, and I think they feel very confident that. Obviously, one guy we did not see was Will Anderson, somebody that, you know, they've been real high on all spring. They've talked about him specifically, and Pete Golding said he is as close to a pro as I have seen ever as a freshman coming into the college level. And so I think he's someone they're super excited to, you know, kind of get out there and let him rip. And it just seems like this team is, you know, really on target to, you know, potentially make another run at a national championship. Obviously, Nick Saban will tell you they have a long way to go, but definitely a lot of exciting things to see. And I'm definitely anxious to see when the fall rolls around, when all those key pieces are in place, because I do think that we only got kind of a small sampling on Saturday, as we normally do in an A day, but also with all the key players that were missing and not being able to play.
Well, Lauren, one player that did not play Saturday, he contributed last year as a true freshman, and that was Malachi Moore. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he showed out a little bit on Saturday with the interception. I think he had three tackles. How much do you think Kool-Aid will be able to be in the mix to try to be that incoming freshman that helps out on the defensive side?
Yeah, I think they're really high on him. Obviously, it's unfortunate that Malachi has been hurt. You know, he hasn't really been able to get in there, obviously, late in the season, dealing with the injuries. You know, I think they said that, you know, he was already kind of struggling in that Florida game and, you know, unable to play. So that position is going to be critical. And I think for Kool-Aid, as a true freshman, being able to come in, you know, I would not be shocked, and I think that the coaching staff would not be shocked if he's pushing for that other spot in the fall. He plays smart. He's very committed. And I guess in high school, you know, he played both ways, and they said that they feel that his skill set really lends itself to that. So I think that they're really excited to see what he's capable of doing. I know Nick Saban lit him up a couple times. And again, I don't know if you guys noticed, and, you know, it's just kind of one of those things with the coaches, and Cole, maybe you can speak to this more, but the way the communication is out there, you know, you hear Coach Saban, he was mic'd up. It's sort of access that we don't typically get. You know, every once in a while you'll get a couple things from him, but they kept him mic'd up throughout most of the game, and just kind of hearing how he communicated with those guys and how he really pushed them and sort of obviously lit into them when he needed to. And then you kind of take that, and then you kind of hear how he talks to Bryce Young, and it's a little bit different. It's a little different demeanor. It's more kind of directional. Hey, you know, do this, don't do that. Whereas with some of the defensive guys, especially Kool-Aid, I know they lit into him at one point. I'm drawing a blank on exactly when that was in the game, but you were like, oh, I think that might have been right out of the second half. And it was just, interesting kind of to hear Nick Saban and how he really, you can tell there's an added passion and fire when it comes to that defense. And at one point he walked over the sideline and kind of let Pete Golding have it. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of talent there, and I'm just excited to see, you know, those DBs go to work. I'm excited. Jalen Armour Davis, he's athletic. He's got great ball skill. Josh Jobe, obviously they're really high on him as well. And so I think they really have just like a good nucleus of guys that are going to be back there in the backfield, really, you know, doing some big things for them. And, I think the other thing they talked about too specifically is that what makes that DB room so special too is they don't have a bunch of egos, that they're really like just really cool guys and they all get along really well. And, you know, certainly, you know, kind of play to the personality of what they're hoping from that defense.
Lauren, great stuff. We appreciate you joining us. Hope to catch up soon. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you. Lauren Sisler joining us.
This is Three Man Front.